Termination payments will typically be made to employees who are at or approaching retirement age. Remember, if an employee is retiring due to injury or disability and receives a termination payment, that payment is fully exempt.
However, payments made to retiring employees under normal circumstances are taxable.
Any payments made to a retiring employee out of an employer's finance retirement benefits scheme, an EFIRBS, are taxable in full.
This means that the £30,000 exemption will not be available. This may also be the case where an employee receives a genuine ex gratia payment that is not within his employment contract and is not expected. Where the payment is on or in connection with retirement, the revenue may deem the payment to be made out of the EFIRBS and hence taxable in full with no £30,000 exemption. There has been speculation as to what the revenue mean by the term on or in connection with retirement. The revenue have said that they will give no hard and fast rules as to whether an employee is retiring. The revenue has accepted that a middle-aged employee who moves on to another full-time employment is not retiring. As such, if that middle-aged employee receives a termination payment, the first £30,000 will be exempt. However, when a payment is made to an older employee who is not moving on to full-time employment, that employee will be treated as retiring. The payment will therefore be deemed to be from an EFIRBS, so the £30,000 exemption will not be available, and the payment will be taxable in full. As a rule of thumb, if you are dealing with any sort of termination payment being made to an employee over the age of, say, 45 years, it must be considered whether the revenue will deem the payment to be made from an EFIRBS. Again, the revenue can be approached in advance for clearance as to whether the £30,000 exemption applies or not.
Payments in lieu of notice, or pylons, have been the subject of much discussion over recent years. The revenue's position on pylons is summarised in their tax bulletin number 24, which was issued in August 1996. Further guidance was given in tax bulletin number 63 from February 2003. If a payment in lieu of notice is referred to in the employment contract, the revenue will regard it as a reward for services and will tax it in full without regard to the £30,000 exemption. This principle was established in the tax case of EMI versus Caldicott. In this case, the employment contract reserved a right for the employer to make a pylon on the termination of the employment, and this provision was enough to make the payment fully taxable. The revenue has always regarded payments to employees on garden leave as being taxable in full, and this was confirmed in the tax bulletin. Garden leave covers situations when the employee is not required to work during his notice period, but is instead sent home to do the garden while still being paid. These payments are taxable in full. However, where the employer makes a pylon without having any contractual right or obligation to do so, the payment is treated as damages for breach of contract and is taxed under Section 401 in the normal way. So, essentially, if an employer terminates an employment contract without regard to any contractual notice period, he is treated as breaching the contract. If, in return for that breach of contract, he makes a payment in lieu of notice to the employee, that payment is treated as a non-contractual payment of damages and is not taxed in full. In these circumstances, the first £30,000 of the pylon will be tax-free. The taxation of pylons is a very hazardous area for employers, and if they have any doubts, they should seek clearance before making any payments to their employees. Indeed, many employers take the very prudent steps of taxing the whole of the payment, i.e. ignoring the £30,000 exemption, and leave it to the employee to argue with the tax office as to whether the exemption applies. Let us take a brief look at national insurance contributions. You remember from your NIC modules that Class 1 national insurance contributions are paid on earnings from the employment. As far as termination payments are concerned, the National Insurance Contributions Office have said that where a termination payment is made to an employee under a contractual obligation, this payment will be regarded as earnings for NIC. However, where an ex gratia payment is made, i.e. where there is no contractual obligation, the payment will not be regarded as earnings and will not therefore be charged to NIC. So, as a broad rule, where a termination payment is made such that the £30,000 exemption rule applies for income tax, there will be no national insurance contributions due. The £30,000 rule itself does not apply to NIC. NIC is an all-or-nothing charge, i.e. the payment is either fully charged to national insurance or fully exempt. Therefore, where a termination payment is taxed in full, NIC will be levied on the full amount.
Payments from an EFIRBS will generally be subject to Class 1 NIC. Remember that Class 1 NIC is levied on both employees and on employers. Also note that employees have an upper earnings threshold for Class 1 primary contributions, which is currently £43,875 per annum.
This means that if a termination payment is made to an employee who earns above this upper earnings limit, if the termination payment is chargeable to NIC, there will only be an additional 1% charge on the employee. However, secondary NICs will be levied in full on the employer. Finally, in this session, we will tidy up a few miscellaneous points regarding termination payments. Many termination agreements often incorporate some sort of restrictive covenant. A typical restrictive covenant clause is where the employee promises not to work for a competitor firm for a certain period of time after the termination of his own employment. Any such payments made to the employee are taxed in full, and there is no £30,000 exemption. Section 225 of the Earnings and Pensions Act specifically deals with restrictive covenants.
If an employee takes legal action to recover compensation for loss of employment, legal costs recovered by the employee from the employer are taxable under Section 401. However, under Extra Statutory Concession A81, there will not be a charge if agreement is reached out of court and any payment of costs by the employer is made directly to a solicitor under the terms of a settlement agreement. In addition, if a dispute goes to court, no charge will be made in any circumstances if the employer pays legal costs under a court order.
A termination payment need not necessarily be in cash. From time to time, assets are transferred to employees as part of the termination agreement. The most common example of this being the company car. Many employers may allow employees to keep their company car as part of the termination package. For tax purposes, all we do is value the company car at the date of gift and to treat this as a cash payment. It is possible for the ex-employee to continue to receive certain benefits from the employment even after the employment has terminated. If this is the case, these continuing benefits are simply taxed in the year of receipt.
The £30,000 exemption is set against cash payments in a tax year in priority to non-cash benefits.
The employer may have certain obligations to report termination payments. In certain instances, a one-off report needs to be filed by the employer no later than the 6th of July following the end of the tax year. A report needs to be filed only if the termination package exceeds £30,000 and includes non-cash benefits. Finally, in this session, if you are dealing with termination payments in practice, you should not simply focus your mind on the tax issues. You should also keep in mind that the cessation of employment is a very complex legal area, and it may be prudent to seek a legal opinion before giving tax advice to your client. A few pounds invested in the services of an employment lawyer will generally be regarded as money well spent. As this is quite a lengthy session, let us confine ourselves to just one practice question. On the screen in front of you, you will see the details of Charles's redundancy package. Your requirement here is to calculate the amount chargeable to income tax. As Charles has been awarded an ex gratia payment, the charge to tax will be under Section 401. The ex gratia payment is taxable, as is the gift of the company car. Here we take the value of the company car at the date of the termination and treat this as a payment of cash.
The statutory redundancy pay is taxable, but the contribution by the employer to the employee's pension fund is exempt. Therefore, of the termination package of £80,000, only £63,000 is chargeable to tax. We know that part of this is exempt from tax, and the exemption under Section 401 is £30,000.
This leaves us with an amount chargeable to tax of £33,000. This concludes this session on termination payments.